himself, reveals himself to them. It is God's prevenient grace that moves us and empowers us and strengthens us to toward God and invites us to new life. I can only speak for myself when I talk about salvation and my prevenient grace moment. And it wasn't a moment in time. It was a process. I came to the realization by working with the Boy Scouts in Selbyville. As I was teaching these young men these wonderful values and morals and ethics of the scouting program and being in the church almost every week and realizing, you know what? You're not even practicing what you're preaching here to these kids. You need to get back with God. So I give the Boy Scouts of America the credit for allowing God to reach me. And I am so grateful that God woke me up and said, come home. I've been waiting for you with open arms. Prevenient grace. God's grace is available to every single person. That has to be understood and affirmed. Secondly, another core belief we have to understand is that we all need God's salvation. We all need saving. We all need God's wholeness and completeness. For you see, not only is God's love universal, but sin is universal as well. We all have inherited Adam and Eve's fall. We all have our sinners. None is righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. We have all inherited that stain of sin. But thanks be to God, God has given us forgiveness and His grace and His love to wash away that sin through the gift of our baptism and accepting God's grace for ourselves. We have a disease called sin that we cannot cure ourselves, and so we need God's forgiveness. Only God can forgive us. Only God can reconcile us with Himself through His grace. And that begins the process of transformation. Paul says, all of us once lived among them in the passion of the flesh, following the desires of the flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. Again, speaking for myself, I wasn't an outlaw, I wasn't a criminal, I wasn't a bad person, but I sure was worldly, and I sure was of the flesh, and I sure did live for myself, and everything was about me. I was the center of the universe. I didn't care a whole lot about anybody else but Fred Duncan. But when God got a hold of me, when God revealed Himself to me, everything changed. Everything changed. We all need God's salvation. Number three, we can be forgiven. We can be forgiven. Paul writes, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even though we were dead in our trespasses or sin, made us alive together with Christ. We talked about prevenient grace. Paul, you're going to hear a lot about prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace next weekend. When we come to the realization that we need God's forgiveness, when we come to the realization that we are lost without God's love, without God's forgiveness, when we come to that place in our lives, when we come to our senses, and we say, you know what? I don't like the way I'm living. I know I need to change my ways. I want to receive God's love and grace and forgiveness for myself. When the person comes to that point, and it usually is at their baptism or their reaffirmation of their baptism, we experience what John Wesley considered justifying grace. Justifying grace. That is, when we receive God's offer of love and forgiveness for ourselves, we are in that moment or in that process of transformation justified. That is, declared not guilty of our sin. You are pardoned from your sin. Even the word justify, just as if I'd never sinned. You get it? God looks as you just as justified, never sinned. We all can be forgiven. And the result of that forgiveness is a new life. A new life of peace and gratitude and not regret and duty and guilt. So many Christians I've talked to live with tremendous amounts of guilt because their church taught them that God is a God of judgment only and not a God of love. That you had to behave in certain ways and you had to accept certain doctrines and you had to act in a certain way and you had to... That's not grace. That's works. That's law. God's grace is justifying grace when we accept that free gift for ourselves. Are you with me? Say amen. Okay, just checking. Number four, we can have new life now. We can have new life now. Paul says, by grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wesley's third movement of grace is called sanctifying grace. We can have new life now. That is, when we have experience God's forgiveness and we've accepted God's grace for ourselves, it begins a new journey in a person's life of sanctification. Sanctify simply means to make holy, set apart for special purposes. We are set apart for a special purpose, that is to be witnesses to God's love in the world and to serve Christ. And our lives, from that moment on, is a process. And I like to use a spiral image of sanctification back to the perfect image that we were created in. Because you know what? Some days I mess up. Some days I falter. Some days I sin. Some days I don't get it right and I miss the mark. And I have to repent of that and realize that God's grace is right there to sustain me and move me forward on my process of sanctification. And it's only by God's sanctifying grace that I'm able to do that. Finally, we can know true peace and assurance. Assurance. Blessed assurance. When we accept God's love, gift of love, gift of grace, gift of salvation, it brings us inner peace. You know, people are looking for peace. They're looking for true peace. They're looking for peace in their lives. You know, you can't have any peace in your life until you've made your peace with God upstairs. You can't know true peace until your peace is with God. Real, true peace. And when we accept this gift of God, it brings into our lives the peace of Christ, the peace that passes all understanding. Yes, there's going to be days where you're going to wring your hands and you're going to worry and you're going to, you know, fly off the handle and you're not going to have that peace. But, you know, there's a special peace that comes with knowing that you know that you know that if you died today, your soul goes immediately to be with the Lord. You know that you have peace that knowing that you don't walk this earth alone, that Christ is with you, that God is with you every step of the way. And wants to help you through all of your trials and tribulations. And you can have the assurance of heaven. The assurance that God will never leave you or forsake you. There was a lady that lived next door to the parsonage in Roxana. And I used to visit her quite often. And one day I think I asked her, I said, Bessie, I said, do you know you're going to heaven? She said, well, I hope so. I hope so. Now, this woman was a devout Christian. I know that she believed and she had, you know, that it made her peace with God and everything. But when people say, I hope so, that doesn't sound very assuring, does it? You can know that you know that you know with the assurance of God that if you have your faith in Jesus Christ and you've accepted his free gift, there's no hoping about it. It is our hope. It is our hope that Christ is our hope, but we can have that assurance not only of heaven, but of peace in this life. Okay. Why this message on evangelism? Why this message on faith sharing? Well, first of all, we have a mission. We have a commission, actually. co-mission, meaning that God is with us in that mission. Co-mission. What is the great commission? To go unto all the world, beginning in Jerusalem, that is our local community, into Judea, the farther reaches, and into all of Samaria, which is unto the world, the known world at that time, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, making disciples for Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, and lo, I will be with you always. We do not go on this mission alone. Why do we do evangelism? Why do we share the good news? People need good news today. The news has been all bad this week, hasn't it, on the news? Bad news. Natural disaster. People dying. People suffering. I'm sure there's been some good news too. But it looks like there's a lot more bad news than there is good news these days. People need to know that God loves them. Amen? People need to know that God cares for them. People need to know that God has a gift waiting for them. People need the new life. The new life. I know I needed it, but I didn't quite know how to go about it. But now that I know the new life, I don't know why I wasted 25 years of my life without it. Why do we do evangelism? It is not about making church members. It is about making disciples for Jesus Christ. We've got 17 or 18 new members joining. I don't want church members. Hear me, church. I don't want church members. I want disciples, because God wants disciples. Followers of Jesus Christ who take their faith seriously. We do evangelism because it's not just a message we share, but a message we live by the grace of God. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for this challenge. Lord, this is going to be an exciting 6 weeks together as we journey with Jesus through Lent. Help us, Lord, to have open hearts and open ears and open minds to your message of transforming faith sharing. Help us, oh God, to have these words written upon our hearts, so as we meet and greet people in our daily lives, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our families, that we can share with them your love and your grace is a gift. And all they got to do is receive it. Lord, help us to be the disciples of Christ that share not just the good news and its transforming effects, but also, Lord, the love that you have for all people, and to see people as you see them. We can only do this, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.